Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read together 13 through 16. But first, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, The Fire and Light of Jesus. The Fire and Light of Jesus. You see, the unbeliever, the unregenerated person, people on this planet that has never encountered the Lord Jesus Christ will never discern, will never understand the things that are written in Scripture because it is foreign to them. Matter of fact, they are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, from the things of God. But when we become born again, God then opens up our understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Spirit of God comes in, he brings light. Light, because our eyes were one time darkened. All we saw was dark things. All we did was dark things. All we did was commit sometimes atrocious things that even mom and dads would blush. You know what I mean? I mean, how did you do that? Or why did you do that? How could you say that? You know, that was our MO, right? But when Jesus comes, he brings not only light, but he brings fire. And let me just say this. What the fire does, it burns out all the dross in our life. The fire has to come. Because when the fire comes, the power comes. And when the power comes, look out, devil. Here comes a child of God. Can I get an amen? That's right. When you walk into a room and you're anointed with God's power and light, man, devils will know that and they will flee. That's right. They will feel the presence of God in your life. The anointing will be upon you. And so this whole morning study is about God's power and light. And for those who are here or maybe watching, maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord. And maybe today is your day to receive God's power, God's light. And it's only given by his grace and mercy. Can I get an amen? He just doesn't give it to anybody. But those who cry out in a heart of repentance, those who are washed in the blood, then he fills them with the light and the power. Hallelujah. And it's all found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's go there right now. And are we there? And the word of God reads, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. Say that with me. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. And so, saints, when the Spirit of God is present, God will cause his fire to burn bright. His light to shine bright and his power to be demonstrated to glorify himself. It's all about his glory. Can I get amen? Amen. It's not about our glory. We're just on a tremendous ride with him. And he has chosen you and I before the foundation of the world. We have really nothing to do with it other than thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We magnify you for saving a wretch like me. You remember when he found you. You remember that? Every one of us in here has a testimony. Those who are watching, you have a testimony. And you can recall how God drew you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You can recall how things were just falling apart in your life, and God came to rescue you. I like to say it like this. He came to save your bacon. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he did. And so, let me just say this. Let's look up here. Fire attracts. Fire attracts. You ever been camping and it's dark and, you know, I think I know my way back to my campsite. And then you see a campfire, right? Oh, I'm walking over to that campfire. Why? Because I can see a little brighter. I can see something ahead. Well, fire attracts. Can I get amen? Well, we're going to look in the Old Testament, and we're also going to look in the New Testament to prove this point that there's power and light in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Let's look at this up here. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. There it is, a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Praise God. Isn't that something? Just imagine there's a bush there and it's just blazing, but yet it's not consuming the bush. Look at verse 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Man, that must have freaked anybody. It freaked him out. I'm sure it freaked you out, wouldn't it? So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Let me just say this. I'm just going to pause. When the worship team is up here giving their praises unto God, this place right here up in this platform becomes a holy place. I hope you know that. That's right. Because the Levite priests, what they would do, they would cleanse themselves. They would do ceremonial cleanses to be right before God as they led the procession. Well, for us as born again believers, we confess our sins, for he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God has given us the know-how how to wash and cleanse. So when we stand up here, we're giving him praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. With a clean spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so that's why he said, Moses, take your sandals off. Why? Because there was dirt underneath those sandals. And you don't want to bring dirt where there's a holy place. Can I get amen? Take them off. You're standing on holy ground. Moreover, look at this. Let's go back here, back to the word in verse 6. Look at this. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I think I would too. Amen? Come on. Never before, he's hearing a voice coming out from a fiery bush. Man, that would freak me out. This is a sci-fi movie or something. I don't know what it would be, but I know that I would be shook to the core. Can I get amen? And so, saints, the fire of God is a manifold manifestation of his power. It drew Moses to him, and it repelled Israel's enemies, and it gave Israel heat and light, and they were allowed to pass through the fire without being burned. My goodness. It's a supernatural fire. This is why when the Holy Spirit comes into your being, you can't see it, oh, but you can feel it. Can I get amen? It's like this, going outside, you can feel the wind blowing across your face. You can see the leaves blowing, but can you see the wind? Uh-uh. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. When he chooses to come into you, man, I'm telling you, he starts to turn tables over in your life. That's right. God is for us, not against us. Can I get amen? Amen. He wants the best for you. Yes. Now, look what Paul wrote right here to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 17, look at this. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let me pause for a minute. The word of God is built upon the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. It's all about Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at verse 12 here. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for that day will declare it, because it will be revealed, look at this, by fire. Let me pause right there. Everything that we do for the Lord is going to go passing through the fire. So whether you did it with the right heart or the wrong heart, it's all going to go through the fire. This is why this is our opportunity while we're still on earth to give God praise and glory with a good heart, with the right agenda. Can I get amen? Let it not be about me and what I can do and what I want to do. No, it's about Jesus. Can I get amen? Why? Because everything's going to pass through the fire. And whatever's left is left. And so know that it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Can I get amen? Now let's look at this again. Each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, verse 13, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Look at verse 14. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. What? There's a reward for us? Yes. Hang on. There's a reward. That's right. And it's not going to be a little toy in a Cracker Jack box. Okay? It's going to be something glorious, something that God has prepared before the foundation of the world, that he wants to bless you and bless me. Can I get amen? Amen. God's about blessing. Yes. He's about restoring. He's about healing. He's about lifting up. Hallelujah. He took us from our dead state and gave us life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? Look what it says right here in verse 15. Look at this. If anyone's work is burned, now here's the work that we do. Let me just take a quick pause. The worship team that comes under, they're giving their heart, their soul, and mind. All that is going to go through the fire. My teaching up here is going to go through the fire. Everything that we do when we witness, but here's the main thing. How do you treat one another at home when no one's watching? When no one's looking? Do you still have that same fire and zeal when you come into the house of God, or that you just leave it here? Can I get amen? We need to be about our Father's business 24/7 wherever we go. Can I get amen? Because this is what the Word of God says. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. There's some people that are going to suffer some loss. Why? Because they didn't have the right heart. They did it with their own agenda. They didn't do it with the agenda of God. But he himself will be saved. Praise God. Have you ever heard this? I made it in by the smoke of my tail. Have you ever heard that? Why? Because we're all going to go through the fire. All of our works is going to go through the fire. And whatever's left there, then guess what? The Bible says we're still saved. Just imagine if all your works is burned up. You still got in. My goodness. But hey, you know what? I want to have a little something, don't you? Well, okay, this is where we get it right here on earth. Now, look at verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So verse 17, this is an exhortation to all of us. including me. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we must, every day that God gives us, it's, oh God, help me not to look at that. Oh God, help me not to hear that. Oh God, help me not to go to places where I shouldn't go. Because the devil is, he is always ready to stumble your walk. If he can trip you up and get God to chastise you, then that's what old Slewfoot, that's his plan to do so. That's right. You know what? I've come to a conclusion that God uses old Slewfoot for mighty, mighty things. You know what? It's to keep us on track. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, he doesn't have the authority to take us out, because old Slewfoot don't have no teeth to bite you. He just roars a lot. You know, he's like the boogeyman. You open the window at night, boo. He just wants to scare you. But we got power over him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. And so, saints of God, we need to take retrospect every day. Oh God, keep me in your ways. Oh God, keep my eyes on thee, oh God. Lord, purify my heart, cleanse me, wash me. Because you remember, yesterday, you can't go back and undo that. That's already done. So if you've done something, then repent of it and move on. But tomorrow's not here, so you can't even talk about tomorrow, because tomorrow has its own trouble. We have enough trouble here today. Now, let's look what Jesus wrote here in Matthew. Look at this. In Matthew 3, 11 through 12, look at this. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you what? With the Holy Spirit and what?
Fire.
Thank you, God. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let me just say this. When God saved us, can you honestly say that you don't do a lot of the things you used to do? Can I get amen?
Amen.
They try to creep back, but this is what he's talking about. When we came into the saving knowledge, when God saved us, he took that fire and he burned those things that once held us in bondage. When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 30, a custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship at 10:30 at night, $500 of crystal meth in my sock. That's right. You know, all drugged up, all these things. And I didn't want that life no more. And I was involved in my third drug rehab. And I was, like Brother G would say, I was faking the funk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Telling people I had quit. Yet no, man, I was still going to my closet room. You know what I mean? But it took that one moment in time that God, hallelujah, in his mercy and his grace, that when I had the opportunity to cry out, it was at 10:30 at night. My goodness, as soon as I started saying the sinner's prayer with this custodian who was on the other side of the fence, a custodian, he wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a prophet evangelist. He was just a worker there cleaning up the place. And he led me to the Lord. And the moment I started crying out, before I even got to amen, a whoosh came upon me. Man, the floodgates, the tears kept rolling down. I couldn't stop crying. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, I felt this joy I couldn't comprehend. And these tears that were flowing down, they weren't tears of sorrow. Because the last time, it was this kind of cry. You know those deep cries, man. You can't stop. You're just crying. You know, it was one of those kind of cries. And the last time I cried like that was when my grandmother passed. I was so close to her. The only difference, these weren't tears of sorrow. These were tears of joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Man, I'm telling you, right before you can close out, amen, that whoosh came upon me, man, and the floodgates opened up, tears were rolling down, man, and I felt like I was brand new. He goes, look up in the sky, and I was looking up. He goes, do you see the wind blowing? I go, no. He goes, well, the angels in heaven are rejoicing that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That moment in time, I exchanged phone numbers. I got in my car. I drove all the way from Claremont, it almost borders Linda Vista, all the way down to Chula Vista. I was staying with my brother Dale. And as soon as I kept rolling down the window, sticking my head out, driving like this. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And when I pulled in, I went in the room. I took all the drugs. You know how you package them up, $50, $10, $20 bag. I took them all, and I poured it into the big bag. I took the big bag, and I flushed it down the toilet, and I had no withdrawal. Can I get an amen? I had no more desire for it. See, I praise God for the 12-step. I have nothing against 12-step programs, but the 12-step, hallelujah, didn't deliver me because I was involved in three of them. It was one step, and that one step was to Jesus. It was to Jesus, hallelujah. It only took one step to him. Thank you, God. And man, 32 years have gone by, and by the grace of God, he delivered me from all that. That's what this winnowing thing's about. With his unquenchable fire, he severed that from my soul. He burned it all up in me. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. This is what God will do. God will do the miraculous in your life. God will do a miracle in your life. God will deliver you. Can I get an amen? I don't care what you're going through, financial struggles, marital struggles, hallelujah, anything, healing in your body, God's unquenchable fire will come in and do the job. Can I get amen? He did it for me. He'll do it for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's right. Now, let's look at number two. Before I get ahead of myself here, we're going to look at the light of Christ in us. The light of Christ in us. Praise God. Praise God. Now, there's a wonderful story in the book of Acts. How many remember Saul of Tarsus before he became the Apostle Paul? Saul of Tarsus, in his zeal, the man had a brilliant mind. He was a Hebrew of all Hebrews. He was from the line of Benjamin. This guy was the attorney of the day. And yet, he didn't understand when the way God raised up. What is the way? It was the movement of the born-again church. They were called the way. They would leave little things on the ground to point where they would be meeting. But they were called the way. You can find that in the book of Acts. And so, Saul of Tarsus' job was to destroy and stamp out this brand new church that had just been birthed by God. So he was the original drive-by. He was the one that would go and raid homes, and he would do break-ins, and he would apprehend them, and they would take them, and they would crucify them, and they would burn them. They would throw them in the gladiator stadiums and feed them to the lions. He thought he was doing God a service. My goodness. But he had his Damascus experience. I just shared with you my Damascus experience. I was on a road of terror, and God had to knock me off my beast. Can I get amen? Everyone gets on a beast.
Yes, amen.
For some of you, it may be a little pony. That's right. In other words, it may not have been as harsh and rugged and ugly of the things I got into. But there's still pride and jealousy and all these other things. Can I get an amen? That's right. There's still the sins of the heart. And so we all have had our Damascus road experience. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's look at this story. It's found in the book of Acts. Let's go there. Then Saul of Tarsus, this is the one who came to destroy the church of the living God, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Look at this. Went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way. Now, did you catch that? That was the movement of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were called the way. Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3. And he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, let me just pause there right now. Here he is. He's on his horse, boom, just beating his horse probably to get to Damascus. Now, we've been to Israel by the grace of God. I know where the Damascus Road is. It's a real place. It's not just in the Bible as a fairy tale like the atheists would believe. No, it's a real place. He was on his way to Damascus to what? To persecute the church there, because the church was growing everywhere. So let's go back here. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Notice, man, I would be humble too if a voice came from heaven and who are you, Lord? And he had a paradigm change right away, didn't he? Look at this. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. What does that mean? That means whatever you're doing is coming to an end now. I'm drawing the line right now with you. You are no longer going to persecute my church. Hallelujah. Let me just say this, my friends. If you have friends or family members or co-workers or someone that hates you for the cause of Christ, don't say a word. Don't blaspheme them. Don't get mad at them. Just take it to the Lord. God will have his way with them all by himself. You don't even have to say, oh, God, go get them, God. No, don't even go there, because then then you want revenge. You want vengeance. No, pray for them. Say, oh, God, save them. They don't know what they do, God. Just save them. Save them like you saved me. Because at one time, we had no heart for God either. Can I get amen? None of us. And so who are we to point a finger at them when there's three pointing right back at us? Can I get amen? So we have to be careful. We got to take everything to prayer. Can I get amen? Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go back to the word here. And let's go to verse 6. So he trembling, look at this, and astonished said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Now, you got to remember, he was knocked off his horse, and God blinded his eyes. So he's a blind man. Just imagine that when God saves us, he gives us brand new sight. Because our eyes were darkened too. Can I get amen? Our eyes were dark. And we were blind, and now we can see. Remember the man Jesus healed at the pool of Siloam? He said, I was blind, and now I can see. Praise God. Well, see, at this moment, Saul of Tarsus is blind. He cannot see. So let's go into this story and read the rest of it. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into that city, and you'll be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Even the men that were with him heard the Lord. Wow. Man, if I was one of those men, I'd get on my horse and I'd be gone. Come on, they didn't have Netflix. You know, there was no science fiction, you know, kind of gimmick. This was a voice from heaven. My goodness. And the men who journeyed with them stood speechless, hearing a voice from them, seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Praise God. Look at this verse in verse 9. And he was there for 3 days without sight. He was blind. He couldn't see. And neither ate nor drank. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Let me just say this. If God took away your sight, you'd be, man, fasting and praying, and you would be crying out, wouldn't you? You'd be, man, Lord, I want my eyes back. Well, God already saw what he was doing over there at this house. And look at verse 12. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. So he's going, whoa, wait a minute, God. This man can destroy me. He was afraid to go to Saul because Saul was the greatest persecutor of them all. Look how God answers this. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor right now and say that you are a chosen vessel of God. Come on. That's right. We are chosen vessels of God. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. That's right. We were no different. God chose you before the foundation of the world. You are here worshiping him today because he has chosen you. Can I get an amen? No different than how he chose Saul. Saul was a greater persecutor. He murdered many, but yet there's grace and mercy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? I don't care what you've done. God will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will sanctify you. He will fill you with his spirit. He will fill you with power. He will give you anointing. You will lay hands on the sick. You will watch them to recover. Hallelujah. God will do phenomenal things in the midst of his people if you yield and surrender to him by faith. Can I get amen? Amen. Wow, look at this. And so he's going to bear my name before Gentiles, kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Uh-oh. We don't like that part. It said that he will suffer some things. I got to ask this question to all of us. For me, 32 years by the grace of God, I wouldn't want no other life anymore. But I have suffered some things. Have you suffered some things as a believer? If not, keep living. There'll be a day where you'll cry out to God and say, oh God, deliver me. And sometimes you're asking God to deliver you from you. We think it's slew foot. You know, we're always blaming the devil. Yeah, but you blame him all day long. But sometimes we did it to ourselves. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But God is there to deliver us, to help us. Praise God. Let's go back now to the word here. Look at this. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went this way and entered the house. Man, you can imagine. He went in there shaking with shaky legs, man. I got to go be with this guy. And Ananias went and he entered the house, laying his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, is that God's grace or what? Huh? This man could have been annihilated by God. All God had to do was just send a small, tiny meteor from heaven and hit him on the head. God could have just did an earthquake and opened up the ground and swallowed that boy. Yeah. But this is why God is long-suffering. This is why God, hallelujah, wants to bless your life and my life. No matter what mistakes we've done in the past. Can I get amen? No matter what you've done. I don't care what you've done in the past. He's about the God to forgive your past. Hallelujah. And guess what? He's already forgiven your future. Man. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Man, I'm telling you, we serve a mighty God. He's an awesome God. Can I get amen? Let's go back here. Now, look at verse 18. And immediately, did it say, well, you know, hold on. I want to see you roll a little bit with me. You know, I want to see how you work out, man. Did he do that with us? Once he saved us, man, I'm telling you, I didn't even know where to go buy a Bible. But all I knew, I was saved. You see, this is where faith comes in. This is where trusting and believing God. And so if I got my sight back, I'm going to trust the one that blinded me. Can I get an amen? And get my sight back. Look at this. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And when he arose and was baptized, let me just pause right there. Do you notice that he received his sight at once? When I shared with you, when I cried out to God, when the custodian led me to the Lord, at once he delivered me. I didn't have to go anymore in those classes, you know, at the AAA and the 12 step. He delivered me at once, right there, once and for all. Gave me my sight, gave me his spirit, and from that moment on, it's been a walk of faith. Can I get an amen? Then he held me by my hand and he was leading me the whole time from that moment on. He's leading you. He's leading you. That's right. He's taking you places you've never seen before. And he's going to continue to bless your life. He's going to continue to pour out blessings upon your life. I don't care what you're going through right now, but God will see you through. If God can deliver Saul of Tarsus, our murderer, and if he can save a person like me, what's too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for him? Oh, no, there's nothing too hard for him. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. So immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight once, and he arose and was baptized. I'm going to ask this question. Has anyone in this place, or even watching on Facebook and YouTube, how many of you have never been baptized in water? Raise your hands. Full submersion into a swimming pool, an ocean, a lake, Pastor Fee's jacuzzi. Okay. Well, the invitation is for you always, if you've never done that. We've had some baptisms at our home. How many can attest to that? Praise God. Oh, yes. Sister Vera over there, she brought her whole family. There must have been 50, 60 people in my backyard. And by the grace of God, I was privileged to baptize your mom and your dad. And now they're with Jesus, both of them. Praise God. I baptized my father. He was 80 years old. And then God gave him another 13 years to live. Hallelujah. And he died at the wonderful age of 93. But we knew that he was saved. Hallelujah. We knew that God had saved him. There was no fear of letting him go, because we knew his last breath here on earth was be the next one with Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so, verse 21, then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief of priests? They thought that he was an imposter. See, because they weren't there. See, this is why, don't get mad. When you got saved, and then you have family members that weren't there, they never saw what happened, and all of a sudden, you're not the same. Don't get mad at them when they say, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Don't get mad. Just live the life before them. And in time, they'll come to the Lord one by one. That's right. All you got to do is let the light shine so bright. Can I get an amen? Listen, your house needs to see Jesus now, right? Can I get amen? Let them see Jesus in you, the hope of glory. And so look at this. They're amazed and said, is this not the one who destroyed those who call on the who called his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all more in strength. Praise God. He didn't stay a baby. He didn't stay drinking milk and crawling around. He wanted the meat of God later on, didn't he? Praise God. Look at this. And confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. And so by now, hopefully, your family knows there is a Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There is a Jesus.
Yes.
That's right. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said it best. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is where? In heaven. Then he wrote this in Matthew 6:22. Look at this. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the believer and the unbeliever. Because the unbeliever doesn't see any light. I'm sorry, they don't. They're in total darkness. So he's given us an example of those who are saved and those who are unsaved. Now, look what John wrote. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So before Jesus came, this place was, the whole world was full of darkness. Listen, because we have inherited the sinful nature from Adam and Eve, we're gonna always struggle in this body of flesh. Can I get amen? So listen, it got so bad in the days of Noah that God had to send a flood and destroy all but eight to repopulate again, to start all over again. But God still had us in mind. But yet, as time went on, as you can see, evil is still here. And so, that's why Jesus makes a perfect example of those who are his, where the light now has come in. And now we can live a sanctified life. We can live a holy life. We can praise him and worship him, and we can glorify his name. Let's go back here to the word right here. Look at this. It says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But look at this, verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, we couldn't do none of these things unless God had to intervene in our life. Aren't you so blessed he interrupted your life? Thank you, God, for interrupting my life. Because I wasn't coming to you. In my darkened heart, I wasn't coming to you. You quickened me to come to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. He touched you so that you could turn to him. We were on our way to that fiery place the Bible calls hell in a handbasket. Wow. But God saved us from that place. Now, let's look at our next principle here. God's supernatural power. How many believe he has supernatural power? That's right. You see, the same power that God spoke this world into existence is the same power that works in you and I. Can I get an amen? Look at this right here in Psalms 33:8-9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. How many of you are in awe of him?
Amen.
That's right. For he, look at this. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He spoke everything into existence. Aren't you so blessed that he doesn't have human hands like ours? Anything we make, anything that we develop, anything we build, eventually it crumbles. You could buy a brand new home in Eastlink And in 15 years, you need a new roof already. That's right. Why? And dry rot, because the termites got to it. That's right. But whatever God builds in your life, that will stand the test of time. Can I get amen? It'll stand the test of time. Yes. Look at this in Colossians. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, God. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that he spoke you and I before the foundation of the world? He already knew your name. What kind of God is that? A God that's way beyond me. He's way beyond you. That's right. And so Jesus promised all of us that we could have the same power that he spoke into existence. Oh, yes, he did. Look at this. He said this in Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let me just say this. Let me ask this question. Have you ever been to Judea? Raise your hand. Have you been to Samaria? Okay. You haven't been there, huh? All right. Well, change the name. Have you been to your neighbor's house? Have you been to the store? There's people in there that want to know Jesus. Amen. So you don't have to travel 3,000 miles. Judea and Samaria is your next door neighbor. It's the people you encounter in life. That power is that we would be a witness to them. That we would share the love of God. We would share Jesus with them. That we would tell them that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. God can resurrect the dead things in your life. God can restore your marriage. God could bring back your children that are bound up in drugs. God could restore that man of yours, that woman of yours. Can I get an amen? God could give them a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. That's right. You got to let them know that there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to let them know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his will and purpose. God wants to do all these incredible things, but he's looking for you and I, yielded vessels unto him, that was surrendered our life unto him, and that we would be used by him. How many want to be used by the master? Hallelujah. How many want to just say, oh God, use me. You chose me, so use me. That's right, and he does. He wants to do marvelous things in your life. Can I get an amen? That's right. That's right. Listen, that power came, and when it came, look at this, in Acts 2, 1 through 4, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound of heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Look at this. Then there appeared to be them divided tongues of fire as one sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Praise God. It was a supernatural event. Can I get an amen? That's right. And from that moment on, they were witnesses. And they were empowered to do God's work. That's when they formed the church called The Way. That's right. I love it was called The Way. To me, that was like, get out of my way. We're here. We're here to stay. Can I get an amen? And for 2,000 years, The Way is still here. Can I get an amen? Because we're on that same team now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And now look at this. The greatest power is the resurrection power. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We sing that song. There is power, wonder-working power in the what? In the blood of the Lamb. There is power from the resurrected Christ when he rose again. The same power that rose Jesus up is the same power that's going to be used when we get raptured out of here. Can I get an amen? I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day. Look at this. Look at what Paul wrote to the Roman church. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Capital S. When you see capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's talking about those who are truly born again. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. Look at this. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What? So when you go, when you leave today and you go to the parking lot, that's the scripture on my license plate. I witness. They go, what does that mean? I go, well, is the Holy Spirit living in you? Huh? Well, that lets me know. If they don't have a clue just on that question, you know. You don't have to beat them on the head. Hey, but you can know Jesus, and he wants to live in you. You see, anything to allow God to open up a little crack so you can share Jesus. Now look at verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of what? Sin. But the spirit is the life because of what? Righteousness. Now, here, look at this. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your life mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, you are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. These are unbelievers, okay? But if the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And that's through the power of God. That's through a repentant heart. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So question is, as we close, how do you receive this power today? Huh? How do you receive this power? How does one receive that power from God? And I'm speaking mainly to unbelievers. Because how many of you know a lot of people that are not saved? You got aunts, uncles, cousins, primos. You got co-workers, right? You got people on the job. You got people in school. There's a lot of unbelievers. There's more unbelievers in your world than there are believers, it appears. Doesn't it? It does. It looks that way. It does. So here's the key. It's found in the Word of God. I have these plaques on top of my baptismal pool in my patio. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It starts with a heart of repentance. For the promise is to you. Now look, and to your children and to all afar off. That means people that you can't even think of them anymore. Yet they are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Now, in verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Listen, if it was perverse then, do you think it's perverse now? It's gotten even more darker, huh? Oh man, there's some things now that we can do that those people didn't have Netflix and internet. They didn't have iPhones and Samsungs, and they didn't have none of that stuff. Can I get amen? Amen. They had, those peeping Toms had to go to your house and look in your window. Now you can just, with the touch of your finger, and get perverted. Lord, help us. Jesus, help us. Help us from this untoward generation. Can I get amen? We need God's grace. We need God's grace. Look at John 7. We're coming in for not a crash landing, but a smooth landing. Look at that. On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Man, when that custodian led me to the Lord, from that moment on, rivers of living water were flowing out of my belly. Man, I'm telling you, joy unspeakable and full of glory was just exuding from me. And I didn't have nothing to do with it other than to enjoy it. But this is he who spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. See, this is a tangible thing. This is not a figment of your imagination. This is not just, it's in the pages here. I read, I see it. No. God wants to become real in your life. Oh, that's right. It's just not word and deed. It's not just ink on pages. He wants to manifest himself in you. Can I get an amen? The hope of glory. He wants to explode in you with joy unspeakable, that you would be empowered, that you would be steadfast, that God would carry you all the way, the rest of the way. Can I get an amen? But this is what he spoke, the Spirit whose those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he had to die on a cross, he had to be buried, he had to rise again, and then for 40 days on earth, he was taken back into the clouds. And even the angels said, what are you looking at him? He's coming back in the same like manner. He's coming back in the clouds. That's right, because that's where you and I, that's where we're going to meet the Lord. Can I get amen? In the clouds. And so listen, this is a faith walk. I hope you know that. Look, ask God for his power by faith. That's right. You don't have to text God and email him. You don't have to Zoom him. That's right. If you can Zoom God, let me in on that Zoom. You can't. So look at this. Jesus makes it clear. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Look at this. I love how Jesus uses these analogies. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or look at this. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? No, because in nature, we're good to our children. We should be, right? Yes. How many of you want to give good things to your children? That's right. Well, Jesus is making an analogy here. Ask God for these wonderful gifts. He's not going to give you nothing ugly or evil. He wants to give you the best. Look at this. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Some of you probably never read that verse. It's knock, seek, ask. That's right. My brother-in-law, Brent Weber, he got water baptized and he was driving home on his motorcycle. He had his helmet on. He did the right thing. And all of a sudden, driving on his motorcycle, the Holy Ghost fell on him. And he had to pull aside. He parked his motorcycle. He took off his helmet. And he was praising God. And from that moment on, he was never the same. I don't care where you're at. Some people go, whose church did you get it at? It's not about church. You could be in your living room. You could be in the shower. Oh, praise God, hallelujah, and bam, there he comes. Why? Because he's looking for a heart that will seek him. Can I get an amen? He's looking for someone that will seek him. Thank you, God. And last scripture is this one right here. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. You know, we do it like this. Oh, God, I want your spirit. Okay, well, maybe tomorrow. Spend time with him. Be in his presence. You know, there's no better time when it's just you and him all by yourself. You're in your closet with him. I'm not saying to go in your closet at home. That's just a metaphor. It's just you and him, and you seek him, and you glorify him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Saints of God, right now, right where you're sitting, lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands to heaven right now. And I'm going to pray that you would desire these things. I can't give you nothing. I have nothing to give. Can I get an amen? Every good thing comes from heaven. Everything comes from God. But God is here. He's in this place. And if you want him to touch you, if you want him to descend upon you, it's by faith. Lift up your hands and your heads to heaven. And I'm just going to pray this and just believe God, that God wants to touch your innermost being right now in the name of Jesus. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, we're here, oh God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, these precious hands that are lifted up, oh God, we ask, Lord, that you would descend upon us, God. Lord, that you would fill our every being, oh God. Lord, that you would anoint us, oh God, empower us, oh God. Lord, that you would do the miraculous in our life, oh God. Lord, that you would strengthen us, oh God. Lord, I'm praying for those who need healing. Lord, that you would touch supernaturally. God, I pray for marriages to be restored. I pray for children, Lord, that are bound in drugs. Lord, that you would set them free. Lord, I pray for all of our family members that are not saved, oh God, that you would do the miraculous and save them, oh God. But for us and those who are watching, lift up your hands right now and ask God to fill you, hallelujah, with this power. Fill you with the anointing of God to continue to do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise. Come on, give them a shout of praise. Come on, give them praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. We magnify you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, God. Saints of God, this is where we join our faith. We join our faith. And we pray for those that are watching right now. We pray for those right now that maybe don't know who the Lord Jesus is. I'm going to ask the team to come up and just whatever God puts on your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus. Oh, God, Jesus. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We love you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus in this place. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you're watching right now and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to pray with you. That's right. We want to pray with you right now. And down on our screen, if you need prayer, that's our website. Get a hold of us. We want to reach out to you and give you a Bible and encourage you, point you to a church that'll preach the unadulterated word of God. But I'm here to let you know, those who are watching right now, that God loves you. He really does love you, and he cares for you. And if you've never given your heart to Christ, we're going to pray with you and ask God to save you. So all of us here at Amazing Grace is going to pray right now with you that God would touch you, that God would save you, that God would start a brand new life in you, and that you would walk in the joy of the Lord, for the joy of the Lord will be your strength. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I confess to you that I am a sinner and that I need you. Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. From this day on, I will do my best to to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Somebody just got saved out there. Get a hold of us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to point you to the right church. Hallelujah. Man, I'm so excited. How many want to worship the King? Huh?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.